Accession number 21107, Reel 4.
We went back up to our original places, and I think then we were just about then we just started worrying about or thinking about crossing the Rhine, or the Reichswald. I think no, the Reichswald come next, which was
that was horrible. Christmas time, was it?
But was winter time, is the ground was all soggy and muddy.
Ray Chandler, end of reel 3. Ray Chandler, reel 4. So the Reichswalds, a lot of people have said, was a horrible experience.
It was, because the... Obviously, we're going through woods, and the shell in, the mortar in, would make... It wouldn't. It burst in the trees, so you would get showered with shrapnel all the time. And again, I emphasise that the German soldier, although he was retreating and he was on the losing end, he was a very good soldier. He didn't give up very easily.
Did you have a respect for him as a soldier?
Yes. I always say, thank God for Hitler. If he'd have let the generals fight the war, I don't think we would have got as far as we did. But he insisted on running things his way, and that's where he went wrong.
Yeah. So I can imagine, you know, there's quite dense forest. Could you see where the Germans were? Or?
No, not very. Not until they started firing. Because the weather didn't help at all. It looked awful because all the trees were stripped of branches or shrapnel had cut them down, and
and it was very, very cold, was it?
Mm.
Very cold?
Wet and damp cold, yeah.
What were the conditions like underfoot? I suppose it's quite difficult.
Very difficult. Let me see if I get some sweets or something.
Okay, right. So how difficult was it to move your vehicle? Were you getting trouble with the...
We were getting trouble all the time. The tracks would come off. You'd have to break the tracks and see with the handbrakes, so get over the sprocket, rev it on to get it up, taut, and jump on the brake, and hopeful then you could... rejoin the tracks and get on the move again. But it was the same with the tanks. They had trouble getting there, bogged down.
So you were able, I mean, you knew your vehicle mechanically very well, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I suppose it was all part of keeping it going, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How good were the vehicles?
Ben?
How good were the brain carriers?
I don't know. The brain gang carriers, they were reasonable vehicles. Eventually, we had a new vehicle to tow in, the 6-pound guns, which was a much better one than what they used to call the Lloyd Carrier. That wasn't bad at all. They were quite good.
What sort of conditions were you sitting in when you were driving it? I mean, what was it like to be in one? I've never been in one.
Well, the conditions is that you just sat in the middle of it, and you had a very thin plate of armour around you. I doubt if it would have stopped high-velocity bullets. It certainly wouldn't stop them anti-tank weapons.
How easy were they to drive?
Oh, quite easy, I think. Yeah.
Can you remember any particular incidents in the Reichswald?
Yeah, they got I don't blame you. Once you're in there, all the soldiers want to get off and they'll walk, but I had to stay in there and drive. And they all I hear the whoosh, you know, you hear the shell going whoosh, and they all tell me that there's a I forget what they call it, a German handheld rocket launcher thing. Thank God he missed, he went over the top of me. But they all say that it was one fired at me and...
Why did they get out and walk? They thought
it was safer.
So you were a bit of a sitting target,
really. Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose you couldn't see the Germans, could you?
You couldn't see, no.
See them at all, yeah. So you'd no idea how close they were, really. So you, I mean, did you do a lot of stopping and firing?
Firing all going, small arms fire, rifles and brain guns going all around you.
Did you ever kill a German?
When?
Did you ever kill a German?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I fired at them. I always assumed that I would have hit them. But I never stopped running around and looking, are you dead? And I honestly don't know.
Is war like you see it in the films at all?
Pardon?
Is war actually like what you see in the films?
I suppose it is, yeah. Only the good side always wins, and it's not always the case.
So how long did the Reichswald action go on?
I think about a week, 10 days.
How far did you progress in that time? Did you move a lot?
Well, we moved quite a bit. I know deeper into there, you know. But we were just on the borders of Germany then. By the time we got through them, there was divisions on our left and on our right. And I admire them very much. The 15th Scottish. They always went into any battle with their bagpipes playing, and I bloody admire that man. God,
it's quite inspiring, I should think, wasn't it?
It was, but I wouldn't give much for his life.
Yeah. So you had the 15th Scottish one side,
and I forget the other ones on the other side. Mm.
Where to after the Reichswald? Crossing the Rhine?
Yeah,
Do you know where you crossed the Rhine?
No, I don't know. It's somewhere between Goch and Cleve, somewhere around that area.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I think I got a bit ahead of me, because intermingled with that was the bridge too far, Arnhem business.
Yes, yeah. What did you know about that?
And then we didn't realise what was going on. And we were out of the line at the time, and sometime, I don't know what time of the day, I don't know, but we've seen all these aircraft and all the gliders. Bloody what, the language wasn't very sweet, but what the hell's going on there? And of course, we eventually heard that it was the bridge at Arnhem.
Right. What did you see? Did you see the parachutes? All the
No, we didn't see. No, we were quite well back. Mm. We just see the gliders going over there.
What? So you heard?
Pardon?
You heard that it wasn't a success.
Yeah.
What effect did that have on your morale?
A lot of city beggars, I think we called them. No, it didn't, I don't think that had any real effect. I think we knew we were winning and we would win. I think we all, by and large, said about General Montgomery, he made a field marshal as he was then. He made a nonsense of that lot, didn't he? Because we blamed him for not having the intelligence to know that what the Germans are doing.
Then the Rhine, crossing the Rhine.
Yeah.
How did you literally get across it?
With boats.
Boats. Yeah. What sort of a boat?
Flat bottom boats. They're just canvas, they're canvas sizes and the flat planking on the bottom, and just rode like hell and hope you could get across there before the Germans walk up to it.
Yeah. That's with your carrier on it.
No, we didn't take the carriage, we just get the 6-pounder on there.
Right. And you got over.
We got over
daylight
there. By the time we got there, it was daylight. And obviously, the next thing was to enlarge the bridgehead. Make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, of course, by then, the Royal Engineers would come up and build a bridge over, which they were very good at doing that, fair play to them.
They were quite, you were quite impressed with the engineers,
yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well organised lot.
Yeah, the first time we really committed contact with them was as we crossed over the Seine, because the Germans had blown all the bridges on up before they left, and the engineers built a Bailey Bridge across the Seine, which was very good there.
So, as you got over the Rhine, where did you go then?
Well, I don't know where, but I think one of the or the, again, I may be mixed up, but Lüneburg Heath. Past the concentration camps, which we knew nothing about what was really going on in there.
Did you hear anything at the time?
No, I didn't hear anything, no. No.
Okay.
And the next thing of any importance is across the River Alla. I think it was Alla, A-E-L-L. Yes, yeah, I think that. On a place called Retham. By then, I think it was held by German Marines. Because in front of it is just wide open spaces, and no cover, no nothing. The Welsh Regiment tried it, and they got slaughtered, so they pulled out. Then the Monmouth Regiment had to go. And they got so far down, and they withdrew, and they said, "We're all right, we'll draw, and we'll have a go the next day." And fortunately, we had to go the next day, and the Germans had gone, because you know, they would get outflanked if to stay where they were. So it was nice to be able to walk in there and not have to worry about where.
So after Lüneburg Heath.
But
where to after that?
Well, it was coming to a close then. We suffered some casualties, I think, because, you know, you've got going to attack someplace, and we'd have shellfire, or in this case, they had the Vickers machine guns doing a creeping barrage. And you had to, I forget, you know, something, move so many yards in such a time. Well, I think by the end, they're all getting a bit anxious, you know, it's nearly over, and they started bloody running. And of course, they run into their own machine gun fire. And I think that was about the last battle we fought in. And then we went up to Hamburg. On the outskirts of Hamburg.
So what state was Hamburg in? Did you see much?
It was a disgusting state. Everything's bombed, shattered. Founders are still living in the ruins.
Did you find that quite shocking, really?
They had very little food, if any. I think we used to give them what we didn't want we'd give them.
Do you want to rest for a minute? So by the time you got to Hamburg, I mean, what date was that? Do you know?
Pardon?
What date was that? Do you know when you got there?
No.
Was the war in Europe officially over by then?
Yeah, the war was officially over by then.
Right. Where were you when VE Day?
VE or VJ?
VE.
Oh, in Hamburg, Hamburg. Just on the outskirts of Hamburg.
Yeah. What were you doing there? Were you just resting or were you...
No, just police in the area. I think then there's a feeling of... what now, you know, the end of the war. What do we do now? What's... you almost as though you missed it.
You've spent a good few, good while coming up, haven't you, through Europe?
Yeah.
Nearly a year?
Well, it was, and, I mean, with the exception of the odd day here and there, you were in battle virtually for the whole year.
Mm. How old were you?
If I tell you, you won't tell me. No, I was better. I joined when I was 17 and, a couple of months. And I've always been saying if I admit that, when are they call me up for a couple of months to do this commitment for service?
So you were 17 when you joined up.
Yeah.
So only 2 years later. So you're
18 and 19.
So you're quite a veteran soldier at 19, weren't you?
Yeah.
So what was the mood in Hamburg? I mean, the civilian population must have been...
Oh, we had nothing to do with them. Well, when I say that, we were in a ruin of a house. She was a woman and a daughter. And if we had anything, like a tin of sardines thing left over, we'd give it to them, you know. And they were always most grateful for anything.
What was their attitude to you?
I don't think it was hostile. I don't know. Hitler himself, I think he was a... He'd done a heck of a lot for Germany. I mean, you know, after the First World War, they were down on the groveling. Mm-hmm. And he picked them up and raised them up and brought them up to a tremendous morale standard. Mm-hmm. And I think my own opinion is if you hadn't trying to invade Russia, and he had all the troops, we would have never got off the beachheads. Yeah. And same again. We had this deception going about the another army waiting to cross over in Cali area, and he kept some of his divisions back there. If the generals had their way and released them, we would have been struggling again.
Did you see, there were obviously Germans in Hamburg, but did you see displaced persons as well?
No, we were from Hamburg, I don't know. We went down to, just outside Düsseldorf. Uh-huh. And we were then responsible for guarding displaced persons and feeding them.
Yeah.
And trying to keep them under control.
Mm. How difficult was that?
Almost impossible, I think. They thought we owed them a living, and we thought we didn't, and try to get them in discipline, tell them they could do this and do that, and they couldn't go out and down to the pubs and anything like that.
Where were they living?
In the camp which we built.
Right.
All around barbed wire and...
What, did they have wooden huts inside?
Yeah.
Mm. So much like an army camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did they all come from? Hmm? Where did they all come from?
Russia, mainly, I think.
Mm. feel this was a job you should be doing?
Not really, but we were told we got to do it, and so that was it. We went on and done it.
What did you want to do now the war was over?
I don't know. This was it. The anticlimax almost. Now what the hell do we do? I don't know.
Were people hankering to get back home?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I don't know why, whose wisdom it was, but from there, outside Düsseldorf, we moved down to Italy.
To Italy?
Italy, yeah. Oh, right. First of all, we went into Milan, and then down to Genoa. Oh,
that's a bit of a change of scene.
It was, yes. I never knew why, or why we went down, because we didn't do anything when we went down there.
So you went to Milan first?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you went into a camp there, did you?
Yeah, yeah, into a barracks.
Uh-huh, yeah. And you waited and...
And then from there we went down, they told to go on, down to Genoa.
Mm. What did you do there?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
How did you get there, overland or?
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know. We went North France on what they call the Medlock, is the Mediterranean run. Uh-huh. Quite pleasant because we went down through Switzerland, and we say you will not look out of any of the windows, and we bloody well did, of course. But it looked very after all the devastation, it looked very pretty. We were going through all the lights up in the. Chalets and a little twinkling.
Yeah. So you saw quite a lot of Europe, didn't you?
I did, yes. Oh, yes.
For a boy from the valleys.
Yeah, yes. I've seen a lot of the world, quite honestly. It's a
So what was Genoa like?
It was all right. Nothing like any other, like London or any other big city. I think.
So you didn't do anything while you were at Genoa?
No.
Have you any idea why they sent you? Did they have something in mind, you know?
No.
Just the British Army.
That's right. I don't think anybody knew where why or had any ideas.
How long were you in Italy?
I don't know. When was it? Let me go and get my paper.
So you were in Italy altogether about a year.
Yeah.
And you came back to where?
To Warminster. The army, in all their wisdom, decided that I'd been a regular soldier, I should go on a course, a small arms course. Which is most unfair, because all the rest of the students on the course were instructors from their depots. Who was instructing in small arms, and I'd never done any of it. I didn't have a clue about it.
You've done small arms in training, had you?
Yeah, but it's different between the small arms and the instructing on it.
Yeah. So why did they pick you then?
Because I was a regular soldier.
Right. So all the other people that you were with went off for demob, did they? Or?
Yeah, oh yeah. Eventually they had this system of numbers, group. So it depends on how early you joined, what group you would demob with.
But you knew you weren't going to be demobbed.
No, I wanted to be, no.
Had you been conscious when you enlisted that you'd signed up?
No, it didn't worry me at all, it didn't.
So you did small arms training? Small arms training,
yeah.
Was that in Bisley? No,
in Warminster.
Yeah, right. What was the camp like at Warminster?
Oh, very good, very good. It's purposely built as a school of infantry.
Who was your immediate superior there?
I haven't got a clue.
Do you remember any of the officers?
No.
Uh-huh. This training course, how long does it take?
8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And what sorts of things did they actually teach you?
Well, teach you all the principles and methods of instruction. They would teach you with one of the particular weapons, and then you would have to do it yourself with a class.
Uh-huh. But so who was in the class? Were these
all students from around the country?
Right.
And as I said, they were all students who were in their depots and were doing that then, which was a big advantage to them.
They must have realised that you were a good shot. That was your sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't think it had any bearing on it.
Really? So how did you get on with all the other people on the course?
I thought I was an idiot, I should think. Because they were all doing it already. I didn't have a clue what they were all about. I found it a struggle, and I was glad when it was all over, quite honestly. Then I went back to the depot in Brecon, and then they told the company commander that I thought it was a waste of time, that it was most unfair. And he said, right, Chandler, we'll put you on a course. So we did what's called a regimental cadre, and that was much better, because I was kind of a much better insight in what it was all about.
Right. So what was that exactly? I don't know.
Teaching you how to instruct.
Right. Uh-huh. And they called that a regimental cadre, didn't they? Right. And that was, you did that in Brecon?
In Brecon, yeah.
So what did they actually do? What did they actually teach you?
Well, teach you how to all the aspects of a rifle, of a brain gun, a Sten gun, all small arms, mortars. All field craft.
So the army must have thought quite a lot of you to get spend all this time, you know, having you in.
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, they must have done, haven't they?
Yeah.
What was it like to be back at Brecon now? I mean, you'd been there as a trainee, hadn't you, with most junior.
Yeah, this is quite strange, really. Brecon hadn't changed. There weren't so many soldiers around as there was when I was there, but other than that, it hadn't changed, really.
But you were back as a sort of a veteran soldier.
I had my medal ribbons up, you know. And,
Did you feel a bit proud about that?
I mean, I think so, yes. Mm. Yeah.
So, when you finished doing this training, what did you do then?
Well, then I became instructor in the Brecon or Down Lanes, whichever.
So you stayed at Brecon. Were you still with the Second Mons?
No, I went from Italy with the Second Mons.
Yeah.
And I stayed in Brecon as an instructor until 1953.
So were you attached to a regiment?
Well, my parent regiment was the South West Borderers.
Right, okay. So you were an instructor. Is that a weapons instructor?
Yeah.
And you were there until...
1953.
1953, right, okay. What did you do then?
When I was doing the instructing, at that time the Korean War was on, and we had a special company and training recruits for Korea, and I think that was one of the most rewarding periods of my instructions, because I knew there was a definite purpose in life, and when they come back, they used to come and talk. I used to come and talk to them, and they were, by and large, they would say yes. Training stead held them in good stead for the Korean War.
So these lads who were going to the Korean War, where had they come from? Were they on the
regiment from South Wales?
Mm.
And they
were doing their basic training.
Right.
So it's exactly where you'd been. That's exactly what you'd been doing just 10 years before, wasn't it? What did you feel about them going out to Korea? Because some of them were conscripts, weren't they?
Oh, I think the conscripts, later on in life, in Malaya, the communist terrorists, they wanted to dominate Malaya. And obviously, Toronto advantage for them to do so. So we have a battle with them. And most of my, I had a company there then. Most of my company were national servicemen, and they were fine young men. They were, they had initiative. They I mean, they used to go out in the jungle and not get lost like I would do. they were very good.
Ray Chandler, end of reel 4.